Tantor Audio presents Shattered World by Kate L. Mary. Narrated by Hilary Huber. 1. So this is the end. Mitchell, the bastard, promised us a safe place. Instead, he's left us out here to die. I'm not that surprised, really. Axel and I suspected this would happen. But we didn't expect what came next. We're in the middle of nowhere, the damn Mojave Desert. Who would have guessed the dead would find us out here? Moans fill the silence as we stare at each other, trying to decide what to do. Staying to fight could mean death, but running will lead us to Vegas, not an ideal place to take refuge. We've already killed dozens of the undead. We're all out of breath, sweaty and shaking, terrified. But no one wants to abandon our supplies. No one suggests that we run away like cowards. Axel's eyes meet mine. My stomach clenches, and all the things we've left unsaid flash through my mind. I owe him so many thank yous. No one has ever been as kind and thoughtful as he has. I regret all the missed moments. All the times I could have told him how much I cared. But I let them pass. If only there was more time. Time is something we'll never have again, though. Then we fight, Axel says. I swallow and nod with the others as I grip my gun tighter. My heart pounds and adrenaline courses through my veins. A warm breeze blows across the desert, catching my hair. It brings with it a sprinkling of sand and the pungent odor of death. This could be the end for us, but I guess I'm okay with it. It's not like I'm leaving a lot behind. Emily is gone, and this thing with Axel may not have ever happened anyway. I'd rather die fighting. We turn back to face the horde of bodies at the fence, just as the door to the shelter opens behind us. I spin around with my heart in my throat, frozen in my tracks. No one speaks, and the night seems suddenly silent. Blood pounds in my ears, and I'm breathing heavily. But it's like everything moves in slow motion as a woman steps out of the building. I blink 3 times, as if doing that will somehow cause what I'm seeing to make sense. I know her. She's thin. The kind of thin only Hollywood can produce. Her hair is strawberry blonde and silky smooth. It goes just past her shoulders. It's too dark to get a good look at her eyes from here, but I know they're green without even having to see them, and that she has a splash of freckles on her nose.
Holy crap! That's Hadley Lucas, Al says excitedly.
Of course he'd be the first one to snap out of it. Teenage hormones and celebrity worship go hand in hand. Hadley's body is tense, and her eyes dart to the dead moaning behind us. Her expression is so familiar. Am I really here? Or am I sitting in some movie theater somewhere watching this all happen? I almost reach for my popcorn. Then the stench of death hits my nostrils, and I'm jerked back to reality. You can't smell movies. Even though I've seen Hadley Lucas in dozens of movies over the years, this isn't one of them. Hadley's eyes move back to the fence while she frantically motions for us to come into the building. What are you waiting for? Get a move on. People take off toward her, but my feet stay rooted to the ground. We can't just run off and leave everything out here. If the dead rattling that fence manage to break it down, we'll never be able to get our supplies. We need to take them now. Axel takes a step forward, but I grab his arm. What about our stuff? His gray eyes move toward the fence, and I follow his gaze. A tremor of terror moves through me like a snake swimming through my veins. The moans are louder now. The dead howl and shake the fence frantically. Desperate to get in. It's holding, but who knows for how long. Axel must be thinking the same thing, because he doesn't run for the building. He turns and takes off toward the Nissan.
Everybody, grab your gear.
I shove my gun in the waistband of my pants as I jog to the car, then pull out my own things first. I toss them over my shoulder to free up my hands. I want to be able to carry more. The bags I grab are full of weapons, so they're awkward and heavy. The nylon straps dig into my arms, but I do my best to ignore it. We need to get as much in as possible before that fence collapses. I glance toward the building just as Joshua and Arthur run out. Joshua's expression is tense when he stops next to me and starts pulling things out of the car. Arthur is right behind him. He's in his 60s, and his arms are so thin, he doesn't look strong enough to carry much. But he grabs a huge box. Guess looks can be deceiving. Joshua flicks his brown hair out of his face, and his eyes meet mine. He gives me a smile that doesn't reach his eyes, then grabs a few bags out of the Nissan. Sorry it took so long. The smile I give him is strained but genuine. I'm too relieved the door is actually open to complain. Does he really think any of us could blame him? When Joshua went inside with that asshole, we had no reason to think he would be able to get the door open. But he did. Whether it took minutes or hours, he worked a miracle in my book. Don't apologize. I grimace when the nylon straps shift on my arm. It's like getting rug burn. I'm so happy to see you that I'd kiss you if my arms weren't full. Joshua flashes me a real smile, and we head for the shelter. Moans from the dead follow us into the small concrete building. Everyone huffs and puffs from exertion, like the big bad wolf trying to blow the house down. We all barely fit with our bodies loaded down with boxes and bags of supplies, and we bump into one another as we try to squeeze in. I should be relieved when the door shuts, cutting off the sounds and smells of the dead. But it's stiflingly hot and a tight fit. So many people bang into my arms and legs that I'm sure I'm going to be covered in bruises. I'll be alive, though. That's the important part. The door leading into the shelter is wide open, and Hadley Lucas stands next to it. I'm one of the closest people to her. She smiles, revealing those famous dimples, and actually takes two bags out of my hands before heading down the stairs. I didn't expect a Hollywood star to come to my rescue today, or ever, for that matter. The stairwell is narrow and awkward to maneuver with an armful of bags. I'm right behind Hadley, and the footsteps of the others echo on the stairs at my back. No one talks. The panic and exhaustion from before hangs over us like a mushroom cloud. I haven't been able to completely relax yet. Maybe I'll never be able to relax. Even underground, the future is uncertain. We'll always feel trapped and cornered as long as those things are out there, waiting to rip into us. Somehow I manage to make it down to the next floor without tripping over myself or anyone else. I drop my things as soon as I'm off the stairs and take deep, soothing breaths while I try to calm my pounding heart. It doesn't work. I half expect Mitchell to pop out and shoot me in the head, or the dead to come charging down the stairs behind us. No way we're really in this shelter. No way we're safe after the hell we've been through the last several days. Others file in, and for the first time, I get a really good look at the group. Everyone is covered in dirt and sweat, and several people still gasp for breath. There are tears in Jessica's eyes as she leans against her father. Trey and Parvati hug. Anne rushes forward and throws her arms around Jake. Even Angus's face is more relaxed, though he does his best to keep his jaw tense and his eyes hard. Classic Angus. Al, oddly enough, is drooling over Hadley. Teenagers. My eyes meet Axel's, and I have the sudden urge to reach out and hug him. But I hold back. The corner of his mouth pulls up just a tad.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?